host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Today I'm joined with Katrina Yolen. She's the Chief Marketing Officer of Acreage Holdings. Katrina, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. I think we saw each other last in Las Vegas at MJ Unpacked.
We did. We saw each other in Vegas and we made it out safely, right? I think that was during one of the heights of COVID. And yeah, shocking that we all made it out alive. For everybody that's listening in, you know, as I said, Katrina's at Acreage. They're headquartered in New York and they're a multi-state operator, do all sorts of fun things around cannabis cultivation, have a ton of retail locations, and also have their national retail store brand called The Botanist. Katrina, really excited to have you on the show just because you come from such an impressive background. You know, you've been all over in your career and worked on the brand side at Mondelez. You were on the innovation side at GSK. You were also on the marketing side at Weetabix. And then you, you know, joined the wonderful world of cannabis at Curaleaf. And now you're the chief marketing officer over at Acreage and very active. You know, we were chatting earlier, but you're also involved in WINC, which is Women Investing in Cannabis. You're a founding member of Chief for the Boston chapter. And, you know, I think a really fun way to kick off the show, Katrina, is, you know, obviously with your incredible background, talk to us a little bit about the, I'd say, polar opposites, right? Between coming from the traditional brand world and then jumping into cannabis and really what your experience has been like to date. Because I feel like you're definitely a veteran at this point.
4 years makes me a veteran in the cannabis industry. I love it. Yeah, well, as you said, my background's in food and beverage marketing at CPG companies, and I worked abroad a little bit for big global companies and then down to a small startup and focused really on natural foods in the second part of my more traditional background in marketing. And natural foods, when a recruiter called me about a role at Curaleaf, which was quite small then in 2017, mm-hmm. I was at first taken aback by the idea of the cannabis industry. And then the more research I did, the more I realized there were a lot of parallels with the natural foods industry and how that grew.
Well, so Katrina, just to intercept you right there, 2017, right? So somebody reached out to you. What was your kind of first reaction? Because, you know, obviously cannabis had been around for, you know, a few years at that point, but there was still a very big stigma. So like, what was your kind of gut? Was your gut reaction right away? Absolutely not.
Well, I laughed at first, but then as soon as I started doing research, I realized what an incredible opportunity to be part of an industry that's emerging with a plant that's been used for thousands of years. I mean, it's really about modernizing an ancient medicine, and you don't get a lot of chances in your career to be part of something that's so new in the world and the way it's perceived, and the opportunity to launch brands, real brands in the cannabis industry and learn about retail and cultivation as well, was really attractive to me. And I think I saw that the cannabis industry was going to disrupt alcohol and tobacco and pharmaceuticals, just the way that some of the small food startups had disrupted, you know, General Mills and Kraft and Heinz when they came on board. And also, you know, what can be more natural than a plant?
Sure. No, for sure. And so, you know, I think, you know, you obviously have now had some amazing experience. You're literally at two of the largest MSOs out there. How do you guys kind of look at Acreage right now as far as one, really standing out in the cannabis space, but also, mm-hmm. you know, how has the brand really evolved as more and more, you know, consumers are starting to experiment and try and become, you know, loyal customers? Like, what's your viewpoint on everything today?
Well, I was super excited to join Acreage because there's a new leadership team in place. And I think 2021 was really a pivotal year in Acreage's story and evolution. We became profitable, adjusted EBITDA profitable in 2021. But with a great new leadership team, we really focused on core states. So we're only in 8 states right now, mm-hmm. and states where we have a great footprint and position in the market, and are really poised to accelerate our growth now in 2022. We also really looked at our brands in 2021. We call it the House of Brands, and tried to make sure that we were filling gaps in our portfolio and core states and developing brands that were differentiated, because that's the trick in the cannabis industry, right? Everyone's local. Mm-hmm. Everyone is operating within the state in terms of what they produce. But the ability to launch new product formats as regulators approve them and really develop differentiated brands is something we focused on in 2021. So we launched a new brand called Superflux, which is currently in three of our states. More coming soon, but you can find it now in Illinois, Ohio, and Massachusetts. And it's a brand that was developed for more of the cannabis connoisseur, based on craft and cultivation, really premium strains, focused on live resin and concentrates. And I think where the cannabis industry is going now is developing real brands. There are a lot of brands in California, but many of them don't have big awareness. And on the East Coast, you know, all eyes are on the East Coast now with these really exciting markets coming on board with adult use. And so the opportunity to really launch and prove brands across multiple states is here, as consumers will be able to travel between all these adult use states soon.
Definitely. And I think, you know, you brought up a really great segue there. I think the Northeast in particular, everyone is really kind of focusing all eyes on, you know, really New York, New Jersey today. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we have a bunch of states, you know, Massachusetts included, that are already have mm-hmm. been legal, and lots of opportunity there. But everyone's kind of scratching their head and saying, okay, New York is legal. When am I going to be able to buy product on the recreational side? And, you know, I get that question a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I follow all of the regs and, you know, understand that, you know, the period that we all had to, at least all the jurisdictions had to opt in or out by the end of the year. But what's your viewpoint on it? Like, one, how big do you think it's going to be? And when do you think people will be able to start?
Well, I wish I had the crystal ball, but we know that New Jersey will definitely go adult use before New York. And, yeah. You know, we've been waiting for New Jersey. It keeps getting delayed, but we hope that it's in Q2 of this year. It could be as soon as the end of April, but if not, then it'll be soon after. So we expect New Jersey to be adult use certainly by the summer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think working with the regulators in New York and New Jersey, they're still figuring out, you know, a lot of things about the right way to do adult use, and are looking at some of the models from other states out west about what to do and what not to do in terms of social equity and other things. So it's, you know, it's certainly a challenging time, but we are in a great position in both of those states and expanding cultivation and really looking forward to the onset of adult use.
Exciting times, that's for sure. So Katrina, you know, I think, you know, you're obviously, you know, a marketing wizard. You've been around, you know, the block.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
All sides. Well, come on, listen, you are very smart. We forgot to mention too, you also graduated, you know, Harvard. We got a smart one on the line here today.
Oh, stop.
but, you know, I think, you know, because you've kind of come from the food and beverage space, and even GSK, you know, I think branding is so important. And so, you know, we had just mentioned, you know, some of your products, and you mentioned Superflux, which I've seen before. And, you know, I think it really, it's very different, at least from a branding perspective, than I've seen mm-hmm. a lot of products. Like, it looks almost very like, I don't know the word, but like almost like maybe a superhero, a product, a superhero. But you know what I'm just saying? It's just like the way that you guys have come up with the, you know, the colors and the branding and the logo. Mm-hmm. What was it behind it? And I just want you to also talk to a lot of folks who are listening in right now. You know, loyalty in the cannabis space has been difficult, right? Because, you know, a lot of people are trying things and they like it, and there are certain brands that they are appealing to, but for some people that are also new, they're like, oh, I'll just get it at whatever dispensary I see. And so mm-hmm. talk to us a little bit about the importance of really, you know, branding, loyalty, and really that kind of spectrum of how you really get a consumer to try and then get them really converted to love your brand.
Mm-hmm. I mean, loyalty, you know, there are a number of points there. One is, we're a vertically integrated company, so there's a lot of loyalty to retail stores. dispensaries, and certainly more loyalty, I would say, in medical markets with adult use, where it's easier for people to go to different stores that have a greater variety of product typically than in medical markets. There's generally less loyalty, but we find there's a lot of loyalty in our retail stores because of customer experience, because of engaged, you know, knowledgeable, well-trained bud tenders. And there's often loyalty to specific bud tenders, you know, in terms of getting advice and knowing what their consumers want or what to recommend. Brand loyalty, you know, is harder to measure in some ways than the retail loyalty, because we know, you know, each month, basically, which consumers we are new that we acquire and who we're retaining. But brand loyalty is really, really important. And as products are available in multiple markets in multiple states, and consumers are able to travel between those states, and someone from adult use New Jersey goes up to adult use Maine on vacation, mm-hmm. and sees, you know, some familiar brands, that makes a big difference as well. Of course, quality is going to be, you know, at the heart of any brand. You have to have good quality and the right price point and product format for the consumer. So, you know, the biggest difference from when we were back in college is all the product formats that are available now that appeal to people at different times of day or different need states or people mm-hmm. who do or don't want to smoke. And I think once people try something and have a good experience with it, they're much more likely to remain loyal to that brand if they see a new product format come out.
Awesome. No, I know I've definitely seen some of your stores, and you know, in particular, you know, I've seen a couple of stories actually that really talk about, you know, the shops. You know, there was mm-hmm. I think it was an article I saw, I think it was like last week, but it really showcased one of the dispensaries in Massachusetts that was The Botanist, mm-hmm. and it was beautiful. Like, and it didn't look like a traditional dispensary. I think to me, it really looked like one, just very natural, but also like very new age, and you know, just like it was very beautiful. And so, mm-hmm. you know, is that something that, you know, you have across all your stores? Is it just a certain store? Like, talk to us about that, the whole kind of in-store experience.
Yeah, the consumer experience in store is incredibly important. And our stores are beautiful, they're warm, they're friendly. They're not necessarily the Apple model of stores being very stark. Mm-hmm. And almost, you know, can become a little clinical. Yeah. Some of the dispensaries are going for that. They're much more warm and welcoming. So you come in and you can see a variety of products and there's someone to help you and give you advice. That's the vibe we're going for. Definitely natural. You know, and I think as adult use comes in, it's important to also be modern and a little bit fun. You want to go into a dispensary and feel like you're in a fun place. You're not in your grandma's apothecary.
Right, exactly. So from a, I think, partnership perspective, I know that you and Canopy have had, you know, a very interesting relationship over the mm-hmm. years. How, yeah. like, talk to us a little bit about that, because I've also seen that in the news quite a bit. Talk to us about, like, how you guys work together and, you know, all that.
Yeah,
good stuff.
We have a good relationship overall. I mean, they're not part of our day to day by any means. Mm-hmm. But in terms of being able to leverage some of the IP, some of their research and their brands, you know, we're able to do that, which is an advantage. They have some resources that we don't have. We're pretty scrappy. But we can leverage their knowledge and, you know, they're good partners.
Awesome. So I'm sure you know this just because we've just entered into March, and that means it's Women's Month. And so, you know, I love the fact that you're involved in so many very interesting programs and affiliations outside of cannabis. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, women investing in cannabis is very cannabis specific, but also, you know, being part of Chief, I know a bunch of folks on my team have specifically asked me for, hey, can I please join Chief? It's amazing. And of course, I said yes. but I think also just women in cannabis in particular, and as I talk to so many leaders, you know, I think it's important, you know, there is equal representation out there. It mm-hmm. has been a very male-dominated industry. And, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts too on, you know, obviously you're in a very senior role and, you know, you're out at events and working with a lot of folks. And I know that there's a lot of women out there that, you know, are looking for, you know, fair and equal opportunities that the men have had in cannabis. So what's your viewpoint on everything? And, you know, have you kind of encountered any red flags or issues in your, in the last 4 years or so? And I just think it's important. So I wanted to definitely bring that up.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I think the history of the big MSOs, a lot of them were founded by folks from the financial industry who tended to be more male and white. But I, you know, things are changing. And certainly at Acreage, we have two women on the board who are absolutely terrific. I'm in the C-suite, but there are a number of women who've been promoted in leadership roles. We have three female general manager, regional general managers now running the country. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing head of HR who's a female. We are SVP of innovation is a female. Our SVP of market development is an amazing woman. So we have a lot of strong female leaders at Acreage, which is great. And I think there are a lot more women who are in the cannabis industry in entrepreneurial roles, a lot of female founders, in addition to, you know, working in the C-suite, a lot of the MSOs. So I think things are changing. They're getting better. It's, you know, it's slow. There's not enough representation, you know, at all different levels in the cannabis industry, and diversity is certainly a big and important topic. But I think certainly at Acreage, it's a great place to work and a great environment. And I'm happy that we have so many female leaders.
I love it.
You mentioned CHIEF, which is a private women's network for senior leaders. And it's really come up a lot in the last couple of years, grown exponentially. And there are clubhouses in New York and Chicago and LA, and one coming soon in Boston. And they share a lot of content and then have monthly core group meetings where you're partnered with women from diverse industries who are at a similar level to you, but from a variety of backgrounds, to kind of be a, you know, personal board of directors, if you will.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, listen, Katrina, it's been great to have you on the show, and, you know, love everything that you're doing, and, you know, be on the lookout too for, you know, some of the folks on my team who are in CHIEF. And, you know, before we break, any, I'd say any big aspirations or big goals for this year that you're really kind of looking forward to not only hitting, but any personal aspirations that you have going into 2022?
I think on the business side, certainly we're looking at our branding and making sure it's right for adult use. So, you know, there's some news coming out there along with some new products, retail updates, and I'm refreshing the corporate brand as well, because I think it's time to tell our story. So that plus innovation, there's a lot of exciting things to look forward to at Acreage in 2022. And one that I'm personally proud of is we're developing a corporate social responsibility program for the company, which is fantastic. And on a personal level, I'm hoping to have some children in college in the fall.
Amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Well, listen, Katrina, it's really awesome to chat with you again. And thank you for coming on the show. And everyone, Katrina Yolen, Chief Marketing Officer at Acreage. Thanks, Katrina.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.